Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, Episode 233, The Holy Spirit and 2022. Pastor Harley Kolderman delivered this message on Sunday, January 9th, 2022 in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
God is awesome. So we've had multiple meetings this week, just really, really some good times, as has been said before. And tonight is going to be a special night of healing. And we want to invite those that are watching on YouTube and Facebook Live that you're invited to come. If you're sick, you need healing. If you know somebody that's sick and you want to bring them and they need healing, we're just believing God together. We're going to see some mighty, amazing things. The anointing of God is in this place today. You can walk out of here totally healed, set free from the power of anything that's holding you in bondage. This is a day that the Lord has made. We're glad and rejoicing in it. Praise the Lord. So as God's people begin this year by humbling themselves and praying and seeking His face, across this land, we're asking God for an unmistakable, undeniable move of the Holy Spirit. We really have an intense desire that all the predictions that we've read in the Bible, especially those in the book of Joel by the prophet Joel and those by Peter that he spoke on the day of Pentecost from Acts chapter 2, those predictions, that they will come to pass. You know, it's one thing to read about all of the miracles and moves of God of history, and we should do that because we should know this is how God acts, this is how God moves, this is how the presence of God works. We should do that. But we can't live in the past, we're living in the present. And we need to see those things again and again and again. We need to see the power of God move in lives and hearts of people across our nation, in our state, in our city, and in the nations of the world. The world is in sad condition. There's a lot of stuff out there. There's a lot of fear. There's a lot of hopelessness. Young kids, young people who should have their whole life ahead of them are taking their own lives by the thousands and by the hundreds of thousands across the world, if you want to count it that way. The unborn are being murdered from the wombs of their mothers by the millions across the globe, around the globe. Atrocities are happening in many nations. People are being persecuted for their faith, not just the Christian faith, but other faiths as well. And lots of stuff has gone wrong and gone haywire for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. But in those days are days that the church should shine, the church should rise up in the power of the Holy Spirit, and that God's anointing should flow like a mighty rushing river in the lives of people, and His love should be like an ocean that surrounds people. So I want to, let's just stand and pray for a moment. You've been sitting some, so let's stand and pray. Father, we just thank You that You counted us worthy to be born for this time and for this hour. Lord, You must have seen and must have thought that we would be up to the task that's laid before us. We didn't have the chance to choose what day or what year or what era even we would be born in. Lord, You created us in our mother's womb for such a time as this. And we're here before You, we're seeking after You, and we're hungry for a move of Your Holy Spirit. Because without You and without the move of the Holy Spirit, without the love of Jesus flowing across the land, this planet is in for much, much trouble. So we're asking You today, Father, that You open our hearts to the realities of the Holy Spirit, the One who leads and guides and directs us, that You will make this a year that we know Him better than any time of our lives, but not only know Him, but that we see Him move into and through us in powerful ways. And for it, we give you thanks and praise, Jesus, because you're the Lord. You're the one who paid the price for it. You're the one who spoiled the principalities and powers and made a public spectacle of them and triumphed over them in it. Thank you, Father, that those demon powers can never rule in our lives again because of the blood of Jesus and because of the authority of the name of Jesus. So, Lord, we seek you today. We seek for a spirit of wisdom and revelation to come over our hearts, over our lives, over our homes and families. Lord, a spirit of wisdom and revelation would come inside of us that we can discern the times that we live in and be like those people of old from the tribe of Israel that knew the signs of the times and knew what to do about them. And for it, we thank you in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. So you can be seated. So we just take authority over every kind of distraction, every kind of thing that would distract us from the Word of God and from the Word of faith that we're preaching. We want the ministry of God to be strong in this place. The devil wants to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus came to give us life and to give it abundantly. So we're into receiving his life, his power, and his presence over this service today, not allowing anything else to happen. So I want to open with this scripture today, the message today. I'm speaking about the Holy Spirit in 2022. John chapter 16, verse 4 says, I did not say these things to you from the beginning because I was with you. This is Jesus teaching and speaking to his disciples. But I am now going to him who sent me, and none of you asked me, where are you going? Because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. Just maybe underline that in your Bibles or highlight it on your iPads, your phones, or whatever you're using. The Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. I might add that there's never been a time when that's needed more. Verse 9, concerning sin because they do not believe in me. You know what that means? That means that tens of millions of people will go into eternity without Jesus. And it won't be a nice thing. It'll be a terrible day. Verse 10, concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you will see me no longer. Righteousness is having right standing with God, being right with God. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. Who do you think that ruler is? You know, Paul talks about it in different places. One of the places he says that Satan is the god of this world. He said if the eyes of the lost people are blind, it's because the god of this world has blinded their eyes. So the Holy Spirit, the Helper, is the person of the Godhead that is responsible for bringing conviction. Conviction of the convicting the world concerning sin, convicting people of righteousness, and convicting people of the judgment to come. So it's really, really important that we understand the work of the Holy Spirit and how we're to be engaged with him, so that we can face the times that are ahead of us. So there might be some tough times coming ahead in 2022. We can't predict all of the things. But for the church, this should be a time of victory because we have him. He's living inside of us. He's come to dwell in us. We don't have to be crying. We don't have to be whining. We don't have to be complaining as much of the world is doing. We don't have to be fearful. We don't have to be dismayed. We don't have to be disillusioned. We don't have to be despondent, suicidal, or any of those kind of things because we have him. We have the Holy Spirit. He's living in us. He's not going to live in us. The Bible says when he came, he never left. And when he came in the book of Acts, he didn't leave this world. And people for centuries and generations and millennia have experienced the power of the Holy Spirit, even in the spite of tremendous persecution and tremendous attack against the church. The Holy Spirit has never left the lives of people, and there's always been a remnant, at least. But we should make the remnant to be the majority, because God wants to take his people home, and he's coming back for a victorious church without spot and wrinkle. And that church must be a church that's led by the Helper, the Holy Spirit, that Jesus just talked about in John 16. So I want to relate this story from Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4 comes after Acts chapter 3, obviously, where the crippled man at the gate Beautiful was healed by Peter and John when they came up. You know, remember the story that Peter said to the man, "Look on us," and then he said, "Silver and gold I don't have any today, but what I do have, I'm going to give to you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk." And the man went walking and leaping and praising God. You know, just the miracle of the day, you know, was the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit coming over the life of this man, healing his crippled limbs and putting strength in his atrophied muscles. And he's just beside himself because he's been crippled for so many years. And everybody's known him because he's always been by the gate, you know, begging there. And everybody had seen him. Everybody knew that this was the crippled man. There was no doubt in anybody's mind. Even those who didn't like the disciples or didn't like the miracle or didn't like Jesus, they knew that this was a great miracle of God, a tremendous miracle. So in chapter 4, Peter is addressing the crowds then because of the excitement over this tremendous miracle that was done, this amazing miracle at their hands. And in verse 11, it says this man was clinging to Peter and John, and all the people were utterly astounded. They ran together in the portico called Solomon's, and Peter saw it and addressed the people. He said, "Men of Israel, why do you wonder at this, or why do you stare at us as if through our own power or piety we have made him walk? The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you observed over, whom you delivered over and denied in the presence of Pilate, when he had decided to release him. But you denied the Holy and Righteous One and asked for a murderer to be granted to you, and you killed the author of life, whom God raised up from the dead. To this we are witnesses, and by his name and by faith in his name, this man was made strong, whom you both see and know. And the faith that is through Jesus has given this man perfect health in the presence of you all." What an amazing miracle. It's undeniable, unmistakable move of God just happened in that temple on that day. I mean, nobody could question it. Not even the critics could question it. And Peter had pretty harsh words for them. He had words that would bring condemnation in anybody's life. "You did it. It's your fault. You." Speaking straight at him. So these were the people that were calling for Jesus' crucifixion that he was speaking to. Verse 17 says, "And now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did your rulers. But what God foretold by the mouth of the prophets, that his Christ would suffer, he has thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and turn again, that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send the Christ appointed to you, Jesus, whom heaven must receive until the time of restoring all things about which God spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets so long ago." So he's saying that when the Holy Spirit comes, there's times of refreshing in the presence of God. So we were experiencing that a little earlier in the service, the presence of God coming into this place in amazing, amazing ways. And, you know, sometimes the presence of God comes in unexpected ways. So yesterday we had a friend, a doctor friend, that stopped by our house. He's from Indianapolis, and we've ministered to his family over the years, and he was part of our church when we had a church congregation in Indianapolis. And So his boys were having a tournament, and they were here for a visit, and they wanted to stop by and say hi. So at the end, we were just chatting, and I mentioned to him that I'd had some alarming symptoms. I don't have COVID, so you can relax. Don't have to mask up. It's not COVID or anything like that. And just, he's a doctor, and he's a doctor friend, and he's given me advice before. And so he gave me a quick diagnosis, and so then I said, okay, boys, now it's, I had prayed for the boys, I'd laid hands on him. He actually brought them so that I would lay hands on his boys and pray over them and minister to them. Every time I'm with his family, I always pray over all their children. He has four kids, three boys and a daughter. So I had prayed over them, and I said, okay, now, boys, it's your turn to pray over me. And so those two little boys, those two young boys, they're not so little anymore. They're growing up crazy fast. They laid their hands on me. And I tell you, it was like two hot irons. I could feel the anointing of God flowing into me as those two boys and their father prayed over me. It was amazing. You know, if you have a doctor that can pray, it's more important than having a doctor. So, wow. So sometimes the presence of God comes in unmistakable ways. Now, there's a young man sitting on the front row here. Last night as we were worshiping God, God showed me that he has a call on his life. He has a call, a special calling for the ministry of some kind. He didn't show me a lot of things about it, but he does. So sometimes, you know, we see kids and we say, well, you know, what can a kid do? And sometimes the kids are saying, what can I do? I'm just a kid. But kids are people. And people anointed by the Holy Spirit and anointed with the power of God can do mighty things. And we're going to see mighty wonders and signs and miracles done by children because the move of God is on. Because the move of the Holy Spirit is on. And those kids that will open their hearts to the Lord Jesus Christ and will open their hearts to a move of God will be used of God in this end time move of God to bring in the harvest before Jesus comes back. And it'll be a mighty harvest. You'll see things that will amaze you. And I believe you'll see them in 2022 because the Holy Spirit is on the move. So continuing in this story, just looking at what Peter had just said, he said, you know, that God spoke these things by the mouth of the holy prophets long ago. What he was speaking about is the only solution for degenerate mankind. This is the only solution. What he's talking about, that times of refreshing will come from the presence of the Lord, that sins would be blotted out. That the Christ, so that he can send the Christ that was appointed. You know, the Bible says that Jesus told his disciples that he would not return until the gospel had been preached to the ends of the earth. So we've got some works to do, folks. There's stuff to do in 22. And we better get with it because time is running out. So verse 22, it says, he's still preaching. It says, Moses said, the Lord God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your brothers. You will listen to him in whatever he tells you. And it shall be that every soul who does not listen to the prophet shall be destroyed from the people. And all the prophets who have spoken from Samuel and to those that came after him proclaim these days. You are the sons of the prophets of the covenant and of the covenant that God made with your father, saying to Abraham, and in your offspring shall all the families of the earth be blessed. God, having raised up his servant, sent him to you first to bless you by turning everyone out of you from the wickedness. So this is the unrelenting grace and mercy of God that's come to pass in the lives of these people. Unrelenting grace and mercy has come to them because he raised up his servant and sent him to be with these people. So this was a spectacular and pertinent time. And if you remember, this sermon that Peter is preaching comes after the day of Pentecost when these men were filled with the Holy Spirit. So what was the aftermath of this sermon, this message? You know, sometimes we preach sermons and we wonder if they ever had any effect, you know? You wonder if people even heard you. I've had people come up to me after a message and say, "Wow, that was a great message." I said, "Well, what about it? Bless you." "I don't know, but it was good." All right. I mean, I get it. You know, sometimes we don't communicate things well. And sometimes we have a lot of stuff and we throw in, you know, we take many bunny trails and, you know, preachers like to preach. They like to talk. So talk is cheap. We can talk and talk and talk. But if we don't bring something that brings the power of God and the blessing of God and the anointing of God and some kind of after effect that changes the life of people. You know, this is not about just getting information. This is about transformation. This is about change. This is about a change of heart, a change of life. And it's about the power of God coming into the lives of people that will change them and make them to who He has designed them to be. You know, we sing songs about new wine and we sing songs about being filled with the Holy Spirit. We can sing and talk about it and preach about it. But if we don't do it, then what's it worth? Nothing. Nothing, nothing, nothing. It's worse than nothing. It's just, we, you know, might as well join the social club, you know, go to the Elks or the Moose and have a drink. So here's the aftermath, verse 4. This might be the next chapter, I think. I didn't note it here in my notes. It says, as they were speaking to the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, greatly annoyed because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they arrested them and they put them in custody until the next day, for already it was evening. But now look at this. But many of those who had heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to about 5,000. So you can read that whole story for yourself. I mean, it's something that's worth getting down in your heart. Because this is what a move of the Holy Spirit looks like. If you don't know what a move of the Holy Spirit looks like, when the next one comes, you'll miss it. I guarantee you'll miss it. My pastor used to say, people are famous for missing every good thing from God that comes along. Unfortunately, it's too true. A lot of people miss the move of God that's happening. So we're disappointed. You know, we see something happening in Israel. There's amazing things happening in Israel. You know, people are coming to Jesus like never before. I mean, this is, since the day of Pentecost, there's never been a day like today in the nation of Israel with non-believing Jews coming to believe in Yeshua, their Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah. It's amazing. So we've had the favor to be a part of that move of God by some of the things that we're doing with the organization here in the United States that supports the work at Beit Hillel and the other congregations that they've planted. This year we'll plant 3 new churches in that nation because so many people are coming to God. It's an amazing, amazing time. But it's one thing to talk about what happens over there, what's happening in China, what's happening in even places like Iran, where many thousands and thousands of people are coming to Jesus. Amazing, amazing, amazing things are happening. But why talk about something happening over there? We should talk about those things, don't get me wrong. But what about here? What about now? What about our city? What about our state? What about our nation? What about the nations who have come to our nation? By the hundreds of thousands now. They're here. What are we going to do? Are we going to reach them for Jesus? I mean, it's one thing to go on mission field and go to the nations to find the nations and preach to them. But when the nations have come to you, what's your responsibility towards them? Just a thought. So it says many, verse 4, of those who heard the word believed, and the number of men that came to about 5,000. So if there were 5,000 men, there were probably about 5,000 women. And they had kids. So there might have been 20,000 people, if you consider the families these men were leading, could have come to Jesus in that move of God. That was the after effect of one miracle of God by the power of the Holy Spirit flowing through two men who were bold enough to say, I'm not giving you money today, but I will give you what I have. We should be like Peter and John. The Bible says, these signs shall follow those who believe in my name. They will cast out devils. They will speak with new tongues. Several other things, and they will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. So let's take just a quick look, and then we'll close. A quick look at three aspects of the Holy Spirit in 2022 that I believe are pertinent. The first one is that he is the key to the move of God in 2022. The Holy Spirit is the key. Jesus paid the price, but the Holy Spirit is the key to a move of God in this year. Acts chapter 10, verse 38 says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, because God was with him. He was anointed, Jesus was anointed with the Holy Spirit and with power. The key to success in Jesus' ministry was not his intelligence. He was intelligent, obviously, an amazing intelligence. He had a lot of supernatural recall of Scripture. I mean, he could quote Scripture. He learned it from a little boy on. He had amazing ability to pour compassion on people, to reach down where they lived, and to minister to them in powerful ways, and to bring them out of sickness, disease. He raised people from the dead. He cleansed lepers. He healed crippled people. He healed people who were blind and deaf. Amazing, amazing ministry Jesus had. But he did it because he was anointed by the Holy Spirit. He was anointed with power. And that's how he went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, because God was with him. Now, most of us would say, as Christians, we're supposed to be like Jesus, right? So if we're going to be like Jesus, we ought to be like Acts 10:38. God anointing us with the Holy Spirit and with power. We ought to be like Jesus, going about doing good, healing all that are oppressed of the devil, because God is with us. Now, I know you can say, well, what if it doesn't work? Why don't you say it's going to work? And what will happen if it does? You know, sometimes we're so intimidated, as if we had to do the miracle. But our job is to lay the hand. His job is to put the power. And the job of the person is to receive. If you don't have that, those three working with each other and that combination, you're not going to get a miracle. If you don't lay the hand, if God doesn't put the power, or if the person doesn't receive, it's a showstopper. All three play a part in every miracle, just like this miracle with the man who jumped up and was leaping and walking and praising God. Number two, the outpouring of the gifts and of the gifts of the Spirit is a key to the move of God in 22. That includes visions, dreams, signs, and wonders. In the book of Acts, the second chapter, you know, it says that they arrived and they were in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And then it says divided tongues of fire came on them. I don't think those were little flickers of the Bic, you know, like a Bic lighter or a candle. And most of the pictures don't do much justice to this event. I believe it was flames of fire that were sitting on these men and these women who were in that upper room. You know, Jesus had appeared to more than 500 people at one time before he went to heaven. And he told them all the same thing. He appeared to the 12 and he appeared to others, you know, from time to time. And then 500 at once, the Bible says, they all would have been invited. He told them all the same thing. Go to Jerusalem, wait for the power that's from on high. But out of those hundreds and hundreds of people, only 120 people showed up in that upper room. Isn't that just like people? It's kind of like the 80-20 rule. 20% get it, the rest miss it. They weren't ready. But it says that when that day arrived, they heard that mighty rushing wind, that mighty sound. I believe it was the sound of shofars. Only it wasn't a human person blowing the shofar. It was like Mount Sinai when God was the shofar. That theme resounds throughout all of the Old Testament and into the New. And when the last shofar sounds, you know where we're going? We're going up. And that one won't be blown by a man either. It'll be what they heard, what the Israelites heard when they gathered around Mount Sinai, when they heard the voice of God thunder like a shofar. So it says in verse 3, those flames came on them, rested on them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So here all the nations were represented. Jews from everywhere were there. In that city, they were all coming to Jerusalem because it was the feast of Pentecost. They came to the festival. And this is what they said about hearing this sound. Verse 11 says, "We hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. And they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, 'What does this mean?' But others mocking said, 'They were filled with new wine.'" Well, you know what? They were right. They just didn't know what kind of wine the new wine was. Verse 14 says, "But Peter, standing up with 11, lifted up his voice, and he addressed the men of Judea, all who dwell in Jerusalem. 'Let this be known to you. Give ear to my words, for these people are not drunk as you suppose.'" They're drunk, just not as you suppose. "Since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. And in the last days," everybody say last days. "In the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out of my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men will dream dreams." 2022 is going to be a time when God is pouring out of his spirit on men, women, young people. And sons and daughters will prophesy. It's predicted. We're a lot closer to the end times than these people were. And Peter said, "This is that which was spoken about." And if he thought it was the end times then, for sure it's the end times now. And then verse 18 says, "Even on my male servants and female servants in those days, I will pour out of my spirit and they shall prophesy." Men and women will prophesy. I guess that takes care of women preaching in the church, right? Verse 19, "And I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke." So in this move of God, there's going to be signs and wonders. Wonders in the heaven above. Stuff is going to happen globally in the heavens. You know, the prince of the power of the air is in one layers of the heavenlies. So there's going to be some signs and wonders happening concerning his soon-to-be incarceration by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. signs on the earth below. There's going to be stuff happening on the earth below that people cannot explain in 2022. Blood and fire, vapor of smoke, maybe some of those signs that we will see repeating. Might be earthquakes, might be volcanoes, might be other stuff, might be just supernatural phenomena. It says the sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. So when you see these things happen, just know something. It's a sign that Jesus is coming back for sure. But it's a sign that was prophesied and predicted by the prophet Joel and by the apostle Peter. Signs, wonders, supernatural occurrences that nobody can explain. Verse 21, and this is the best part of it. And it shall come to pass that everyone, everybody say everyone,
everyone,
that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Can you imagine a day like that? All you have to do is just call out the name of Jesus and immediately something happens to your heart, your life changes, you get rid of all of your addictions and your sins and your favorite iniquities, and the move of God is on. Thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of people globally coming to Jesus in amazing ways. It's a great day to be alive. Third thing, third key, his impartation. It's more important than ever for the days that we're living in. In John chapter 16, we'll go back there to bring this message to a close. John chapter 16, verse 12, his impartation. This is what Jesus said about it. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. He's still speaking to his disciples. This is a scripture I opened up with. He's teaching them and telling them what will happen after he goes back to heaven to be with his Father. Verse 13, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but what he hears he will speak. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. Now just look at that for a moment. This is an impartation of the Holy Spirit that comes upon people, that fills people's lives and begins to impart into them the truth. So we live in a couple of years of tremendous lies and deceptions everywhere. Government, businesses, families, homes, individuals, lying, deceiving. Hypocrisy beyond comprehension in some cases. People believing their own lies in many cases. Living in their own deception and believing that it's the truth. But the Bible says that when the Holy Spirit comes, he cuts through all of that junk. And he brings truth.
Thank you, Jesus.
Truth that cannot be denied. Undeniable, unmistakable, unrefutable truth. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. And to have that impartation in your life is a key to living in victory in this century, in this year, in these days. And it's a key to the move of God that's coming up. To have the impartation of truth into you. Jesus said the first sign of the end times would be deception. He said, see to it. He's on the Mount of Olives. He's talking to his disciples. They're talking to him about the glory of the temple. He says, don't worry about that. It'll all be rubble soon. Because it's going to happen. And they say, well, when is it going to happen? And when are these things happening? And when are the end of the times? And the first thing he said was, see to it that you don't be deceived. Deception. Rampant deception is the first sign of the end times, of the end of the end times. That's how it works. So don't be surprised. There'll be more to come. More lies, more deception, more stuff. But the truth is the light that dispels the darkness. The truth is the light that destroys deception. And if you have the truth, Jesus said, the truth that you walk in And being a disciple of Jesus is the truth that sets you free. So it says that he's going to speak what he hears, and he's going to declare to you the things that are to come. So many of you will begin to see things that are to come. And I know it is your head will try to do a number on you. You just say, that couldn't be God. I'm just thinking this. God speaks to people more than they recognize. He's trying to warn us all the time. Sometimes we ignore him and we think, oh, that's crazy. Or he gives us instruction and we think, that's really crazy. Tells us to do something. Tells Carissa to keep sewing when she's having big problems. That's crazy. But look what it did. It created a miracle of finance. But he will declare things to you if you will listen to his voice. That's what Ellie said is so important about having intimacy with God, because if you don't hear his voice, you're likely to end up in a heap of trouble. Because he's trying to guide you around the rocks in the river. He's trying to get you to navigate down that river and go clear sailing. So hear his voice, listen to his voice, heed his voice, act upon his voice. Verse 14, it says that when the Holy Spirit comes, the Spirit of truth comes, he will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. Do you know what that means? That means he's going to supernaturally impart into you the things that are coming from the heart of God. This is what impartation is about. A lot of people don't understand impartation. You know, you can get impartation in a number of ways. Your best way is to get it when you're having time with God. But you can get impartation from the laying on of hands of the elders, of the prophets, of the apostles, of the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers, those that are ministering. It's God moving through a person. But he doesn't have to wait for you to find a person to impart into you. The Bible says right here that he's going to, when the Holy Spirit comes to you, he's going to take what belongs to God and he's going to impart it into your life. He'll declare it to you. He'll release it inside of you. So you can be what you couldn't be. You can do what you could not do. You know, Paul said it this way, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. How could he do that? It's because the power of the Holy Spirit came in him and put power where there was weakness, and put strength where there was weakness, and put anointing where there was blah, blah, blah. That's how the Holy Spirit transforms the life of a person. He's the key. He's the key to the move of God in 22. But if you don't know that, you're going to be on your own, navigating as best you can through the troubles and trials of life. Then it says, all that the Father, this is verse 15, all that the Father has is mine. Did you ever think about that? Jesus, the third person of the Trinity, was one with his Father and one with the Holy Spirit. And he said, all that the Father has is mine. It all belongs to me. He didn't say it all will belong to me. He said it all belongs to me now. What he's teaching his disciples is if you don't claim what God has for you, you're not going to have it. What you don't claim, you leave on the banqueting table. He's preparing a table before you in the presence of your enemies. He's making your cup to run over. But if you don't claim any of that, it's not yours. It's just like somebody could will you $100 million, and if you didn't take the papers that deeded it to you to the proper authority to release the $100 million to come to you, it would be just as good as not having the $100 million. You would be a rich person living in poverty because you never took the deed. You never took the legal papers. You never acted upon what God has provided for you. All the Father has is mine. Therefore I said, he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. So when did he say that would happen? He said it would happen when the Spirit of Truth came. When the Spirit of Truth comes to you, all that belongs to the Father, that He gave to Jesus, that belongs to Jesus, it belongs to you. It's the key to the move of God in 22. Okay, so what do we take away from that? I want to close this way. Also from John chapter 16. This is some advice on how you can tap into this. John chapter 16, verse 23 says, "In that day you will ask nothing of me." So he's talking to his disciples. He's told them he's going to be gone. He's not coming back, but he's going to send the Holy Spirit. He's going to send the Spirit of Truth, the Comforter. He's going to send the Holy Spirit to live inside of them and for the Holy Spirit to be everything to them that he was to them while he was with them on the earth. That's the reality of a walk with Jesus. So he's saying, in that day, you won't ask me anything. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Now, just tell me, what belongs to the term whatever? What does that include?
Everything.
What?
Everything.
No. Just enough to get by.
Everything. No.
Are you sure? Then how come we don't live like whatever we ask the Father in His name belongs to us? Are we calling Him a liar? He said, whatever you ask the Father in my name, He will give it to you. Either He lied or He told the truth. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive. Who is the subject of that statement? You will receive. And who is you?
Me.
So how can you put yourself in this picture? Only by asking and believing that you will receive. Amen? Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. You know, some Christians, and sometimes I've been this way. I mean, I'm not criticizing people. They are the saddest people on the face of the earth. Why? When all we would have to do is ask Him, receive from Him, and be filled with joy. Why? Why would we be complainers? Why would we be moaning and groaning? Why would we be bitching about the government and all those other things that are going on? Why? When we could be praising God and be full of joy and be full of the Holy Spirit and be full of the anointing of God. Well, you did today. And here's why it works. Verse 25. I have said these things to you in figures of speech. The hour is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figures of speech. I will tell you plainly about the Father. You know, that's the job of the Holy Spirit. To show you who the Father really is. And to show you what His covenant with you really means. That's the job of the Holy Spirit. Verse 26. In that day, you will ask in my name. And I do not say to you, I will ask the Father on your behalf. So sometimes we're trying to get Jesus to do stuff that we should do. Jesus, would you please go get this for me? Gimme, gimme, gimme. My name is Jimmy.
Help us, Jesus.
I do not say that I will ask the Father on your behalf. For the Father Himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. I came from the Father and have come into the world, and now I am leaving the world and I'm going to the Father. So the point of that is, he had just told them, when he goes to the Father, the Helper is coming. When he goes to the Father, the Spirit of Truth is coming. The Helper, the Spirit of Truth, the Holy Spirit is the key to victory in 2022. It's the key to the move of God in 2022. So let's be determined to do some of the things that Ellie said in drawing close to the Father, so that we can hear the voice of God, so that we can minister in the power and the truth of the Holy Spirit, so that we can have the life of God so filling us that we will never turn back. And then one final thing, it's about staying filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, some people, they got filled with the Holy Spirit 20, 30, 40 years ago, and they hardly even speak in tongues anymore. There's some churches and denominations that have been founded on Pentecost, the day of Pentecost, that never speak in tongues. They never have any prophecy. They never have any prophetic words. They never have any discerning of spirits and miracles, signs and wonders, or any of those things. They just say, you know, we're this, and sing our songs, we preach our message, we leave the door, and then we live on Monday through Friday, just like whatever. If you're in that kind of church, get out. Go somewhere that's life. I'm not condemning denominations or any of those kind of things. You know, I know everybody teaches what they can and what they have, what they've experienced. But this is a new day. This is the day that God has assigned us to reach this generation for the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's be a different kind of church. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18 says, don't be drunk with wine, which is debauchery, but be being filled with the Holy Spirit. It's like it just says be filled with the Spirit, but the translation doesn't do it justice. It should say something like be continuously filled with the Holy Spirit. Be always be filled with the Spirit. Don't let up, just continuously be being filled with the Holy Spirit. So you can be filled and refilled and refilled and refilled and refilled. Get your fresh dose every day. Amen? Praise the Lord. Verse 19 says, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in the Lord. Did you see that it doesn't say complain to one another because things are bad? Bad mouth people because, you know, somebody looked at you crosswise or whatever. And it's the persecution of the day. You know, somebody cut you off on the freeway or something. He says, be being filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's how you stay filled with the Holy Spirit. If you don't get it, I don't know what I can do to help you. So let's stand and pray. Father, I pray for those watching online, and I hope I haven't offended the dickens out of them. Lord, I just ask you that you administer life to them, life in the presence of the Holy Spirit to them, Lord. I ask you, Father, for open hearts, open lives, open homes. Lord, that you can come and be who you wanted to be in their life. So you can be first place in their life, not last place or not with the leftovers of time, of treasure, of effort, Lord. I ask you, Father, that you will open all of our hearts to be more pertinent about our walk with the Holy Spirit, to live for you, to live with him, leading, guiding, directing, providing. Thank you, Lord. You are our provision. You are our healer. You are our deliverer. So we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Let your blessing flow over your people today. everywhere, those watching, those listening by podcast, Father, those that are here in the service, thank you, Father, for your manifest power and presence coming over their lives. Those that are ill, I speak healing to you now in the name of Jesus. Be made whole now by the blood of Jesus and by the power of Jesus' name. Satan, I command you to take your hands off of them in Jesus' name. Sickness, you obey my voice now in the name of Jesus and by the power of his blood. Get out of their bodies. Get out of their minds. Get out of their lives. Get out of their families. Get out of their homes. Get out of their neighborhoods in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for the power of the blood of Jesus and for the power of Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you all for joining us today on Internet land. We love you and bless you and honor you. Come tonight. We've got a great healing service going on, and it'll bless you. Bring the sick to be healed in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.